You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Hello to you on a Wednesday. It is the calm before the storm, literally, since we're going to get some nasty weather in here late tonight into tomorrow. And then it'll just be freezing cold. We are not, however, freezing cold. We are on fire because we have a terrific show lined up today. 4:20, Rob Howe, Hawkeye Nation, is going to join us. At 4:40, Sean Tomlinson, Bleacher Report on the National Football League and the playoff games coming up this weekend. At 5 o'clock, Matt Lorlander will join us, CBSSports.com. We'll get into a lot of college basketball. And then you and I basketball with an early start time beginning at 5:30. Gary Rima on the call, kaboom. And Gary will see if he has the voice to finally lead you and I to a conference victory. Trent, how are you, pal?
Doing pretty well, Jimmy B. A busy night last night. We had Iowa State in action. Certainly a lot to talk about there. Played well for long stretches of that game, but late not able to get it done. I was calling some high school basketball last night. Got to see Tyreek LaCour in Des Moines North go up against Hoover. Hoover got the victory in that one. So, yeah, good night of basketball overall. Watched a lot of it on the highlights and had watched the Iowa State game on DVR last night and flipped on John Walters. And, well, I got to hear the last 3 minutes of the game last night at live as it happened before watching on DVR. I listened to the worst part of the game, it sounded like, for Iowa State.
You did, because once again, they were in the game the entire time for roughly about 35 minutes. It's a 40-minute game, as everybody knows. And the last few minutes of the game, they fell into that once again, what are we doing? And they couldn't make shots. Ball wouldn't drop. Kansas, on the other hand, were better in the final few minutes of that game. This is a team in Iowa State. Still has not won a conference game, but they have improved, Trent. You can see the improvement in each player's game, and then last night it did show up, but they haven't yet figured out how to close a game. Mm-hmm. And until that happens, they're still going to struggle down the stretch.
Yeah, this is a team that is still very inexperienced. It's, you know, relying on a lot of young guys. You got Wyler Babb, though he's played before, playing a new position at the point guard spot. Of course, Wigginton, a freshman. Cameron Laird, and I thought there were stretches where Laird looked really good again last night. You can see, you know, the playing time has been increasing for him. There's a reason they were waiting around, and last year we were on Cameron Laird watching, waiting for this guy. Was he going to show up? He finally does for the second semester, though he redshirted during that time. There was a reason that Coach Perlman company waited for this guy. You can see it. Boy, he's really talented.
He is. He's raw, but he is really, really talented. And probably next year you'll see a big jump in improvement by his junior season. He could really be a stud on this team. And I think what Cyclone fans have to remember is that they're all talking about, oh, look who we're recruiting. Look at the young guys who are going to be in here next year. That's all well and good. But as Trent and I have talked about on this show, you got two guys that are waiting in the wings, sitting out 1 year in Shayok and Jacobson, who are going to be starters on this team and be dominant players. And it's going to change the way Iowa State plays, and it'll be a totally new look Iowa State team next year. And Trent, I'll say it right now, they're going to be damn good. They are.
Yeah, I think the expectation is next year they're going to be a tournament team. And one thing that we speculated coming into this season is, you know, how the fan base was going to react. It felt like it was going to be certainly a step back from what they were, six consecutive NCAA tournaments, and how they were going to react to a team that was going to be rebuilding this year. And I think overall, there's always some crazies out there, but overall, I think the fan base is understanding, yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating being a game and letting it slip away. And you have Kansas on the ropes, and you don't get it done. And you have Texas, and you had Oklahoma State, and you're up late in that game, and you're up in overtime, and you let those games slip away. But that's what happens with young teams. That's what happens in a rebuilding year. And there's a reason that there's some tough ones in there. But I think overall, from what I've seen, the fan base, they're also seeing these small little nuggets that are cropping up, and it's why the Iowa State basketball fan base is so good, because they can see those nuances. They can see those little things and understand it's going to be a building process, but they know down the road it's going to get a lot better.
Yep, that's exactly what you're planning for. Look, this is, for Iowa, this is the lost season. And they play at Illinois, tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, yep.
And Illinois hasn't won a conference game either.
Nope.
So somebody's going to walk out of that arena winning their first game with a W. Is it Iowa? Is it the Fighting Illini on home court?
It's Illinois.
We've got to wait till tomorrow night.
I was not beating Illinois. I was not beating Illinois. That's
You're saying that right now.
Right now. The point spread is out for the game, in fact, Jimmy B.
Okay.
What do you got? I'm going to put you on the spot here, make a trek into the Conic Casino.
All right. They both stink in conference play. So I'm going to say 4.5.
Pretty good guess. They have it at 5 offshore, the first line that is out there. So Iowa, a 5-point dog, and I will be laying those points and going with the Illini. Illinois got guards. they got guys that can get to the rim. It's a terrible matchup for Iowa. You couple that with a road game, I don't see Iowa getting off the schneid here. And then after that, it's a road trip to Rutgers. Well, Rutgers is improved, though they're not very good. They're better than they have been. It's not the layup that it's been in the past. You come home, who do you get? Well, one of the only two good teams in the conference, Purdue. This thing could continue on, Jimmy B, for a while. It's Wisconsin after that. You go on the road to Nebraska. Try to find victories. It's so crazy where we were with this team in Iowa before the season, and now we're on the completely other side. And does the streak end of the public schools tonight? Does you and I finally get a conference win? We got Iowa State at 0-4. We got Iowa at 0-5. We got you and I at 0-4. For the public schools, does it end tonight, Jimmy B, and we can get rid of this stupid narrative?
I would hope so. I never thought you and I could be this bad shooting the basketball.
No.
I never envisioned this, shooting 27% from the floor. Come on.
Ugh.
Gee whiz. Great school kids shoot better than that. I mean, it's amazing to me what happened to this team, and they're even struggling defensively a little bit, and that is Ben Jacobson's M.O. So I have no idea what has happened. I don't know how this team ran off the rails as fast as it has in conference play, Trent, where this
wide open. There's no question about it. I just wish that, something would take place so that somebody will get a win.
Yeah. We got to get some kind of victory. We have to get something positive that happens for the in-state teams. And then, you have the other side of the coin. It's the Drake Bulldogs. Drake tonight making their way over to Indiana to take on Valpo in that matchup in the MVC. The Bulldogs still undefeated. And it's a squad that doesn't have a whole lot of height inside. They have to play a certain style, a certain way. But they keep finding ways to win basketball games. They're an underdog tonight. They've been an underdog before, though, in MVC play. And, it opened up the season with Drake, and it has a chance to be such a fun story. But they go out. They're playing in their exempt tournament. They beat Wake Forest. So it's not a great Wake Forest team, but still, you're beating an ACC team. There's something to be said. I don't care what ACC team it is, for Drake in a rebuilding year, that alone is a positive. They followed up, played well against Colorado, lost that game late in there, beat Drexel then. But you just roll through here and see what they have done and the way that they've been building. I think for a lot of people, they saw that game against Minnesota, got some hope. What happened then on that Saturday against Iowa maybe pulled it away. But here they are, open up with a win on the road at Southern Illinois. They come home. All right, that was fun. But Illinois State's coming in. Now, Illinois State is not the program that we've seen the last couple of seasons. What Dan Muller has built there, they're down this season. But you throttle them. And just absolutely wallop that squad. Beat Indiana State on the road over the weekend, and now on the road again in Indiana against Valparaiso tonight. It's an incredible story. I did not think there was any way we would be here with Nico Medved's squad, what he had coming back, but you got Reed Timmer. He's doing his thing, as always. Oren Gundy's having to play inside a little bit more. Really like him. McMurray, he's played at a high level at times this year. You got Woodward, who helps out inside. They're entertaining to watch and hopeful for maybe what Drake basketball can be certainly going forward. Well, Jim, we'll take a timeout here. We're going to come back. We got Rob House stopping by. We're going to talk some Hawkeyes with him. Kirk Ferentz earlier today had his now annual fourth straight year, had this January press conference, but me a little bit disappointed, left a little bit to be desired as he didn't release a depth chart. Now, really, it's pretty selfish in my part. I want to see the depth chart. I want to be able to speculate about some things, give us some different talking points here. So for me, I was disappointed to see that. Not a ton of news that came out. One interesting thing, though, that I thought as he was talking about James Daniels is they're going to have to rebuild that offensive line in the interior. You lose your two best offensive linemen from this year. Sean Welsh via graduation and James Daniels moving on early to the NFL. You know, what they're going to be inside. He talked a little bit about Mark Kallenberger, kid from Bettendorf that I really liked his high school tape. He's got weight that he certainly has to add. This is going to be a big offseason for him if he can build, because some good things came out there. But he was talking about James Daniels and talking about Daniels playing at the next level, taking this jump. And he said he thinks right now he's a guy that could play inside, could be a guard, a starting guard for a lot of NFL teams. This is a very talented kid. Maybe there were times this year that it felt like he took a step back, but just go back and watch him against Ohio State. Watch the way that he blocked in that game against a very talented front of Ohio State, and you can see why NFL people are certainly very excited about him. So we'll talk about that with Rob Howe. We'll get into the basketball as well, as this basketball team continues to go down in the dumps on the Hawkeye side of things. We got Rob Howe coming up on the other side, Jimmy Beebe. It's going to be a long winter here. It's going to be a long winter. We might end up talking a little bit more football with the expectations that are out there for Iowa State. We'll see where they are with Iowa, but I have a feeling more than the last couple of seasons here during the winter months, we're going to be talking more football than normal.
Well, we're spoiled. Everybody is spoiled. They're used to having teams in the dance. Mm-hmm. And it always one team was in the dance, maybe the other's in the NIT, then both teams are in the dance. Trent, we had all three teams in the dance. So it was great. That's what the basketball fans in this state have become accustomed to in the last 5 years. And right now, that is not going to be the case. Although I have to tell you, I did see one bracketologist have Drake winning the Valley and being in the dance.
Well, normally what those guys do is they will put it out, whoever's leading the conference, that's the team that
Correct.
They put in there. And since they're 4-0, yes. They're leading the conference. And that's why they have them in there. But, yeah, it's fun to see Drake come up there on the bracket. And I'd be rooting for it. Give us something. Give us something to get there. It'd be great if we went down to Arch Madness and for once we actually had two teams that we were realistically keeping an eye on. It's not just, well, in 2008 it was for Drake, and every other year it's been for you and I. It'd be good to go down there and have both teams actually have a chance to do something down there.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Hey, look, I just want Drake. It would be great if they're not in the Drake Invitational, having to play that first game. And they have played in that, I don't know what, 5-6 years in a row now at least?
No, I think it's been every year since 2008 they've been there.
Since 2008 they've played that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every year since the year they were the one seed, they've been in either the 8-9 game or the 7-10 game. That's why it's the Drake Invitational. I coined this thing a long time ago, Jimmy B.
You did?
And it's right every single year.
Yeah. I'm hoping, for their sake, I'm hoping that if they don't end up winning the conference, even though they're 4-0, that they at least avoid the coined phrase, the Drake Invitational. That would be awesome for Nico Medved and those guys playing.
Well, we're going to talk Hawkeyes next, and we got Rob House stopping by. HawkeyeNation.com. We'll take you up until 5:30 today. We got you and I basketball tonight against Indiana State. The pregame show with Gary Rima coming your way at 5:30. It's all here on 1700 KBGG.
Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700 KBGG. We made it. A new year upon us. A happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
It's that time of year. The cold weather is here. The Animal Rescue League wants to remind you that unpredictable winter weather can be very dangerous for your animals, and we encourage you to bring them inside this time of year. Animals should not be left in cars and should only be outside long enough to relieve themselves. If you witness a situation where an animal is in danger due to weather conditions, call your local law enforcement or animal control.
Sponsored by JCPenney. Get everything you need for the new year at JCPenney. Find great deals throughout the store for everyone and for the house, too. JCPenney.
Showplace Kitchens is now Showplace Cabinetry Design Center. We're changing our name to better represent what we do. What is it, you ask? At Showplace Cabinetry Design Center, we create beautiful, functional environments with cabinetry. Whether it's a remodel, addition, new construction, or even refacing, the designers at Showplace Cabinetry Design Center are eager to help you create a showplace of your very own. Come see us at 3200 100th Street, Urbandale.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
With ARC Physical Therapy, there's no back injury slowing me down.
Thanks to ARC, my knee pain is not limiting me from doing what I want to do. I'm free with ARC.
ARC Physical Therapy provides individualized plans unique to you to help you get where you want to go. Eliminate your pain and discover the difference at ARC Physical Therapy. Visit one of our locations in Urbandale, Des Moines, and Ankeny. Online at arcpt.com. ARC Physical Therapy is a proud member of the Urbandale Chamber of Commerce, the only 5-star accredited chamber in Central Iowa.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines. Or online, washersystems.com.
Camp Sunnyside, taking a boat ride is Joey's favorite thing to do.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun. Here at Camp
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We roll till 5:30, and then we've got UNI basketball for you coming up at that time. Right now, we're going to talk some Hawkeyes with Rob Howe, Hawkeye Nation, right here on the Big Talker 1700. Rob, good afternoon, man.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing well. Let's start first, before we get into basketball, let's stay on football for a moment, and your thoughts on what Kirk Ferentz had to say today at his final press conference.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was just working on my notebook now for the site, and he covered a lot of ground. It was about 30 minutes, and covered a lot of areas, much of which we probably, you know, those of us that follow the team could predict that he would have covered, you know, filling in at linebacker, backup quarterback, progression of wide receivers, what it meant to lose Josh Jackson and James Daniels. He was very complimentary of those two guys, very complimentary of Tyler Wiggers, made sure to mention that he did not feel like that was a selfish move by Wiggers at all, that he did everything they had asked of him and wished him the best. And it's kind of just the nature of the game right now, especially with quarterbacks. When they get up into those upper grades, you know, upperclassmen and can graduate, and if they're stuck it's presumed they're stuck behind other players that are younger than them, they can move on and get a chance to play at other schools. So I think that's probably, we're going to see a lot more of that, I think, than a lot less, as long as that graduate transfer rule stays in place.
You know, a lot of speculation out there, Rob, about some other guys that couldn't be moving on. We'll probably see more of that. The rumblings start happening with the guy. You see something on Instagram or something on Twitter, they start using that account again, and then a release comes from the university. But in terms of newsworthy things today, nothing on the 10th assistant coach, nothing in terms of transfer. Not even a depth chart. So did it feel a little bit different than the three previous one of these that we've seen from Kirk Ferentz?
I think, Trent, mostly in that there wasn't a depth chart. We really didn't have a starting point to work off of in terms of, okay, this is where they're going. You know, this is what they look like going into the spring. It makes you dig a little deeper and speculate a little bit more on some of these positions that we've talked about. I think that was the biggest difference for me. I was a little surprised that there wasn't more movement on maybe some more guys that were thinking about moving on, but the kids have been on break, and I don't think most of the guys get back in until later this week or early next week in terms of coming back on campus. So maybe we'll get some more news moving forward here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on that. Generally, that's when it takes place, is when they start to come back. You want to speculate on who might be thinking, or maybe some of the rumors that are out there?
I think I don't want to speculate too much, but I would look at guys that maybe have been passed over by younger players on the roster. At running back, Marcel Jolly is a guy who graduated last month. He's kind of been stuck in, you know, pretty deep on the depth chart since he's been here. He's a guy I could see moving on. You look at wide receiver, somebody like Adrian Falconer, who was passed up by, guys that were true freshmen this past year, and Max Cooper and Brandon Smith. He didn't even travel to some of the road games. Devontae Young's an interesting one. I'm not really sure where that one goes. He played special teams and was on kick return and some things like that. And I don't know, maybe he hangs out another year and sees if he can push into the push up the depth chart a little bit more. You know, but he and Falconer both have redshirt years available to them. So it would not surprise me if guys like that would move up. Those are kind of some of the areas and guys that I would look at, are areas where it just there's just more movement now than there used to be, and it's more like college basketball now and college football. Guys are more ready to move on if it doesn't look like they're getting any traction in the first, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Rob, a lot of conversation about the offensive line, losing James Daniels, a part of that, but talked about some young guys. Talked quite a bit about Mark Kallenberger possibly being a guy that could jump in there, maybe help out inside. You bring back the tackles, but the interior is going to be a lot of work. Seems like maybe the beat guys, you included, maybe a little bit concerned about what that inside of the offensive line is going to look like next year.
Yeah, James Daniels is a big loss, guys. I know Josh Jackson's a unanimous first-team All-American, and that's obviously a huge hole to fill next year with the young cornerbacks that are coming back. But that anchor of the offensive line is a big deal. And the way, as you said, Trent, Kirk talked about James today as being, you know, as good of center prospect as he's ever seen in his life, including when he was in the NFL. That really, Kirk's not much for hyperbole. When he says something like that, it usually means something and you pay attention to it. So obviously big shoes to fill there in the middle of that line, Sean Welsh and Daniels leaving. Sounds like Keegan Render was the guy that, you know, and he started the first game last year when Daniels was hurt. He looks like the guy right now going into spring that will get the first crack at center. You know, with Cole Banwart, who's will be a redshirt sophomore, I believe. I think he's making progress as well. But he was hurt in December, and he's playing a little bit of catch-up. We'll have to see how healthy he is in the spring. Then you got Ross Reynolds in the middle of that line. I think Levi Paulson's a guy that can move into that, you know, the interior of the line. And then Renders it there. And then, you know, there's a possibility that somebody like Werfs could move inside. But the way Kirk talked about Kallenberger today, I got the sense that he's making progress and he's got a chance here in the next 6 to 8 months to make a move. But physically, he's got a ways to go yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's something that I could see happening in the spring. Maybe as they get to August, and they're trying to find those five best pieces he could work himself into the mix. But I think in the spring, it's Werfs and Alaric Jackson at the tackles.
Kallenberger was kind of a leaner type body for an offensive line. He probably weighed, what, 250, 255 coming in, something like that. So you got to figure there's a lot of work to be done with him with Doyle in the weight room.
Yeah, and I saw him a couple times his senior year. I went out to watch him live. Very athletic kid. He was a good bat. He started on their basketball team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's still transforming his body. And like you say, Doyle is trying to mold that. But the skill set's there, Trent. I mean, they really like what he can do, his length, his footwork. So he's definitely going to be a factor here. I don't know if it'll be this coming season, but certainly in the near future.
Having a great conversation on the Hawks right now with Rob Howe. All right, Rob, let's do a little round ball. You got any way to figure out, can this team solve its problems against Illinois, or is it still going to be a struggle?
Well, I think it's going to be a struggle all year, Jim. It's just they are what they are right now, and, you know, they just have to get better at what they do well. And right now, whether that's, you know, playing in zone or playing in man-to-man, they have to play better. They just have to play with more intensity, but they also just have to play better. They're not as bad defensively as they look at times. They can be better than that if they try and work harder and play together. They just seem so disconnected. It just, when things start to go downhill with them, it all falls apart. You'll get one, you know, some dribble penetration. The bigs don't help. There's no rotation. They're flat in the zones. It almost feels like it's been a snowball effect, if you will, guys, that they're almost waiting for something bad to happen, and when it starts to happen, they kind of fall apart. They have to try to find a way to keep from doing that and playing hard the whole game. mean, they played pretty well at Maryland in that first half, mm-hmm. not defensively, but offensively. They played okay. They've played okay at times in this three-game losing streak in the Big Ten. It's just not enough. They don't put 40 minutes together, and that's still what they're waiting to do.
A couple of just crazy stats. I was reading your column earlier today over at HawkeyeNation.com, Rob, and the first one, they've got outscored 98-48 the last two games in the paint. 98 points in the paint. One thing I brought up this week is bring some physicality. You got a bunch of big guys. At the very least, make these guys earn it. Stop giving up dunks and easy layups. And if you're not putting somebody on the floor and you're not making them earn it, then he comes sit down. Couldn't that be something maybe as you're searching for answers that could ignite this team, at least bring some physicality in there?
Oh, I certainly think there's validity to that, Trent. They've got plenty of fouls to give on the inside.
Yeah.
They're short in the backcourt, not in the frontcourt. I think if you just looked at those numbers raw without looking at the games or actually watching the games, you think, man, they're just getting pounded by big post guys down there. A lot of those points in the paint are guys just dribbling mm-hmm. through the defense and scoring layups. I would say there's probably a decent percentage of those baskets are coming in that way. So it's a combination. As I was saying, they've got to tighten everything up on defense. And like you say, if it takes some physicality inside to get the other team to think, hey, maybe I can't just drive through this defense unscathed, and maybe they got to do that. And maybe they got to get mm-hmm. – because I think, you know, the toughness factor, the intensity factor, that's been lacking too much for this team. And I mean, time's running out. They got to figure that out. They've got to be able to, you know, put forth as much effort as they can and play as hard as they can, or this thing's not going to get any better.
Rob, let me just kind of follow up. Have you heard any more on Connor McCaffrey and his status? Has it been determined yet?
Yeah, I asked Fran about that yesterday on the teleconference, and he said he's, I'm not sure the last time I was on with you guys, but he had had a second surgery after the tonsillitis, the original tonsillectomy. He had complications from that, was bleeding, had to go in for a second surgery. I think that was probably a week and a half ago or so. And that kind of took him back to step one in the recovery process. He's lost 15 pounds. He's down 15 pounds from where he started the season. I just don't think there's hope there anytime soon. And Fran kind of alluded to that yesterday on the teleconference. They haven't made a definite decision on him redshirting, but I'd be really surprised if he doesn't redshirt. And I think it's probably going to be tough for him to get back for baseball at this point, too. It may be just best for him to redshirt in both sports, get himself back physically, and then just look towards, the 2018-2019 sports year.
Last thing for you, Rob, how HawkeyeNation.com mentioned that teleconference. McCaffrey was talking about the backcourt. He said, quote, Brady deserves to play, speaking of Brady Ellingson. Brady deserves to play, and he'll be back in there. Now, of course, McCaffrey wasn't around for the second half. Was that maybe a little bit of a shot to Sherm and to the rest of the staff that, hey, you know what the rotation's supposed to be? Or am I reading a little bit too much into that?
Yeah, probably a little bit, Trent.
Okay,
and
all right.
That's fair, though, because I tweeted that yesterday, and it's tough. You know how it is on Twitter. You get only so many characters, even though they've expanded it. He did go on to say, and I wrote in my piece from yesterday, that, you know, he understood why the assistant stuck with the rotation that he used in the first half. It was his mistake not to use Brady in the first half.
Okay.
And to be honest with you guys, I kind of like the lineup, especially when they're playing quicker guard-oriented teams. When he has Bohannon, Moss, and Daly in there at the same time,
yep.
I almost like that lineup. It's just difficult because Ellingson then is your only other guard on the bench if you get somebody hurt, somebody in foul trouble. But I would like to see him use that lineup more against smaller teams that they're being taken advantage of against. Tomorrow night's going to be a chance for that because Illinois's got a lot of good cards, and maybe he goes to that lineup more. And I think they probably need to use Ellingson. They need to have him into that four-guard rotation. They have to play quicker. They're getting beat too much on the perimeter.
So how do you see the matchup then with Illinois, since we won't talk to you tomorrow when they play the game? Neither team has a victory in conference play. Who you got?
I think Illinois is playing better right now, Jim, and I think, and Fran mentioned it yesterday, one thing they do really well is they defend, and they make the other team work for baskets. And oftentimes, you know, we talk about it's cliche, defense wins championships. If a team's hustling and working hard on defense, eventually I think they break through. And Illinois is really guard-oriented. Laurent Black's really good, and Michael Finke's really good. They're two big guys that are leading scorers. But you look at, you know, Trent Frazier, Mark Smith, Aaron Jordan, some of the guys they have on the perimeter are guys, the type of guys that have given Iowa trouble this year with dribble penetration. So we're gonna, all these issues we've just talked about here in the last 5 or 10 minutes about can Iowa be better on defense, they're going to have to be tomorrow night because this team will challenge the things that they've been deficient at.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. 0-6 staring in the face of the Hogs. Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. Thanks as always for your time, Rob.
Thanks, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Good stuff out of Rob. We need a quick timeout. We're running a little behind. Coming up next, we're going to switch our attention over to the NFL. Sean Tomlinson from Bleacher Report. He'll be our guest next as we take you up until 5:30 today. Then it's you and I basketball on 1700.
First Light with Evan Henning. Every weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
It costs $15 per day to provide the necessary shelter, food, and veterinary care for every animal at the Animal Rescue League of Iowa. And right now, we have over 1,000 animals in our care. For as little as $5 a month, you can join our Loyal Friends Club to ensure that the ARL will continue to be there for animals in need. The need is now. The need is local. Visit arl-iowa.org/donate to start giving today. Thank you.
Sponsored by Walgreens. Need the ride relief fast? Swing by Walgreens today with brands like Vicks DayQuil and NyQuil Severe. You'll get maximum strength cold and flu relief day or night. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, we roll all the way to 5:30 tonight. We have UNI basketball for you this evening. Gary Reimer with a call with the pregame show starting at 5:30 and the tip coming up right about 6 o'clock. It's always a good time when we have a chance to talk to Sean Tomlinson, Bleacher Report, the NFL. Look, there are monster games both Saturday and Sunday, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit because it's much better than ours. Sean, how are you, man?
Hey, it's just lost, Sean. Let me fire back up on the phone lines. We'll get him back here.
All righty. So a little redial here, and we'll take care of that right away. Look, here are the matchups. Saturday, it is Atlanta at Philadelphia, and then the night game is Tennessee at New England. On Sunday, Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Remember, the Jags already have a win over the Steelers at Pittsburgh. And then New Orleans at Minnesota. And this is not a cold weather game, folks. They got that beautiful indoor stadium. So Drew Brees is going to be pitching against that Vikings defense. Matt, thank you, pal. And let's start first with what I just referenced, that New Orleans-Minnesota Vikings game. Look, the Saints look pretty good, Matt. Minnesota has Minnesota's got a strong defense, and I just think that this is a heck of a matchup in this game.
It absolutely is, and you're right. If the we know what Drew Brees can do in a dome. We've seen it for years. It's he can feel at home there, but I think the nature of this Saints offense has changed, and it's a scary time when Drew Brees isn't the focus. Although he's still great, he's still the same Drew Brees we've come to know, even at the age of 39. It's the Kamara and Ingram show to a large extent, with the exception of maybe last week. So to me, if if those two can be contained, then there's definitely a chance to pounce on the Saints team, and that's been a strong point for the Vikings defense. We're talking about defense 3.7 yards per carry throughout the season, and then if they can do that, and then the matchup with Rhodes and Michael Tomlins on the outside. I mean, if you're the sort of football nerd that wants to focus on one specific matchup, that's get your popcorn out territory right there.
Sean, you mentioned what they're doing with the run game, still the passing game. Michael Thomas, so good. But he's going to be going up against Xavier Rhodes, and it is shut down whenever Rhodes is on pretty much anybody in the NFL. How important it is for New Orleans to be able to get something out of Ted Ginn like they did last week. Brandon Coleman was able to provide a little something, and good-sized receiver out there, 6'6", 230 pounds. He's just a monster out there. How important is it going to be for those other pieces of the passing game to step up?
Yeah, absolutely critical. And, you know, Drew Brees throughout his career, he's been famous and known for being able to spread the ball around and sort of, you know, do a lot with whatever he has. You know, that's a sign of a great quarterback. And when you look at a guy like Ted Ginn, he's been around for a long time, and what he does well is run fast, run far, and stick his hands out, and the ball should be there. That's what he's always been. And he can sort of come out of nowhere with that big home run play and that big game, 115 yards last week. He had a decent season, but you just can surprise you sometimes. And, you know, it's just that there's so many weapons on that Saints team to try to contain. But I do think for any defense, especially one as strong as the Vikings are up front, it starts with containing that running game. And not just the running game, what Kamara can do as a pass catcher, too. He has so much balance and can break tackles in the open field. But yeah, there's a lot of fun matchups.
Are we, if you're a Vikings fan, are we seeing the real Case Keenum at quarterback? Or is this a mirage and it's all going to blow up on the Vikings this weekend?
That's been something I've been kind of back and forth on all year. And I think, well, the kind of second part of your question there is, I'm not sure that needs to be a concern, because the Keenum, part of its success is that he hasn't been put in a position to have to have the game on his arm all the time. They've sort of, yes, he's been great, but they've made it so that there's other ways to win around him, whether it's a strong running game, and obviously the defense takes priority. It kind of reminds me of the 2016 Chiefs, really, you know, before Alex Smith became what he was this year. And as far as Keenum and what he's done, I think there's somewhere in the middle between Keenum this year and the awful Jeff Fisher Keenum that we saw last year with the Rams. There's some middle ground there, and he's found it. And, you know, it's such a quarterback-starved league, and we're talking about a Vikings team that, again, is defense-focused, but they have multiple free agents at that position. There's value in being, you know, good, if not great, still good. And if you have that quarterback to hang on to him, and there's some comfort there with Keenum, so it'll be very interesting to see what the Vikings do with him this offseason.
The other NFC matchup, it'll be the first game of the divisional round, Atlanta making their way to Philly. We've talked this week about Atlanta being a favor over the Eagles, the number one seed here. Are we going too quick? No, Carson Wentz. Yes, get it. He's very important, and Foles is not nearly the quarterback that he is here. But this is still a very talented Eagles team, and it's a Falcons team. Before last week, I was pretty disjointed this season. It feels like the narrative has changed too quickly, at least to me. How about you, Sean?
I see where you're going. It is, even when Wentz was healthy, he was an MVP candidate, obviously, but that's still a very strong defense. You know, got Fletcher Cox, Vinnie Curry just gets after the passer, Michael Kendricks, great against the run. When you have Ronald Darby, there are just a lot of pieces that have made that defense a very swarming unit and a tough one to play against. But I wouldn't put that defense on the level of, say, the Vikings that we just talked about. It's not quite there. And when you can't limit the opposition to few points and get the ball back quickly, you know, you're needing to rely on a quarterback to move the ball and do it easily and smoothly. And that's what Wentz was. Wentz was that magic sauce for the Eagles. And, you know, Nick Foles, the best compliment we can give him is that he is one of the better backups. But the best thing you can have at your backup is having two or three spot starts and then the guy comes back. Well, that's not happening. And to try to win playoff games with Nick Foles is just, it's a really tough ask, especially against the Falcons offense that is beginning to look like the offense that we saw in 2016.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that. Okay, let's go to the AFC, Tennessee at New England. And this is a matchup we saw early in the year, and Jacksonville had six. I can't figure out Jacksonville. How do you win a game only scoring 10 points? You hold the terrible Buffalo Bills to 3, and Trent and I had a good laugh. It's the only time I think in NFL history a team has scored 3 points and covered the spread.
Yeah, and you know, when you have your quarterback running for more yards than he's throwing for, and
yeah.
Well, that was fun. Blake Bortles isn't exactly, you know, he's not known as like a Michael Vick or something like that. He did what he had to do, but it's going to be, if they can pull this off just as they did back earlier in the year, it's going to be bizarre to see the Jaguars be a Final Four team and be in a championship game. And then be shopping for a quarterback in a few weeks, because that's what's going to happen. You know, it's if there is one team that has the defensive power to knock off the two teams, one of the two teams we assume are going to meet in that AFC Championship game, I think it's Jacksonville. That
wow.
Secondary is just frightening. But with Ramsey, with Boye. Now that said, in that matchup, Antonio Brown went off for 154 yards. You know, he didn't have too much of an issue. The way the Jaguars were able to win is by containing the run game and just really pressuring Big Ben up front. So, I think the game plan is to say with one of the killer bees, Bell, Brown, and Big Ben, take away two of them, or at least take away one. And I think the Jaguars have the power to do that. And then they're going to have to win really horribly, horribly ugly games, and that's fine. They all count.
They do all count. Last game here, 30 seconds left. Tennessee and the Patriots, and I think that's all we need in this game. No chance for Tennessee. What is it? What's the blueprint? 3 Brady interceptions. Derrick Henry runs for 170 yards. Is that about it for Tennessee?
About. Now, I will say this. Not that I'm a betting man, but the Vegas line of 14 points, I believe it is in most places right now, it is 14. 2 touchdowns is a mountain to try and do that. What that's saying for the non-betting people is like, yeah, the assumption is it's going to be an absolute blowout. I do think the Titans can at least make this somewhat of a game. You know, Derrick Henry, what he did last week with 190 yards, Marcus Mariota, if you get the good version of him, and that he has shown up every now and then too. But yeah, it really doesn't look good, especially on the road in what could be snowy New England.
Well, you're right about that. Sean, thank you, buddy, for the time. It's always good when we catch up to you. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to you, too. Sean Tomlinson, Bleacher Report, the NFL. Trent, we got to get to a break.
Now, looking forward to it. Our old friend Matt Norlander back with us here. We're going to talk a lot of basketball, get into, well, the Big Ten and the Big 12, certainly. We'll talk about that. Oklahoma, Trae Young last night got off to a rough start. 1-12 in the first half against Texas Tech, and still comes out with another great performance by the end of it. We'll get into that and a lot more. Matt Norlander from CBS Sports. We're talking college hoops next on Jimmy B and TC.
Your home and away voice for UNI football, 1700 KBGG.